The author Jhumpa Lahiri is best known for her novels and short stories about the immigrant experience. She was born in England and raised in the United States by parents who emigrated from India. In her new book, The Lowland, which has just been nominated for the Man Booker Prize and a National Book Award, the immigrant experience is only one part of the story. As NPR's Lynn Neary reports, the novel is rooted in the politics of post-colonial India.
Lahiri says the book is based on a tragic incident she first heard about during one of her many visits back to India while growing up. Two young brothers who had become involved in a violent political movement were executed just a few hundred yards from her grandparents' home in Calcutta. The young men's family was forced to watch as they were killed.
That was the scene that, when I first heard of it, when it was described to me, was so troubling and so haunted me and ultimately inspired me to write the book.
In The Lowland, the two brothers are inseparable. They look so much alike that people often mistake them for twins, but their personalities are very different. Udayan is charming and adventurous. Subhash is more cautious, the solid, dependable type. And in Lahiri's version of the story, only one of them becomes politically active.
I thought it would be much more interesting for the story to set up a contrast between these two brothers, to have one involved politically and one to be aloof, because I think it creates an inherent tension between the brothers, and I wanted to show how the movement could seduce one while leave another indifferent.
It is Udayan who becomes involved in the Naxalite movement, a radical Maoist political party that got its start during an uprising in a rural area of northern Bengal. The Naxalites became popular on college campuses in the 1960s and rejected Gandhi's politics of nonviolence. But Lahiri says student activists like Udayan were also idealists, searching for a way to combat their country's poverty.
Certainly part of the reality for him and his comrades is that, they're basically kids. I mean, they're college students. And so one can see how a certain ideology can appear very attractive, and appear to be the solution and appear to be the key to solving an enormous problem in a country, in a society.
As Udayan's involvement in the movement deepens, the authorities come looking for him at his parents' home, where he lives with his young wife, Gauri. In this excerpt from the book, a soldier demands that Gauri tell him where her husband is hiding.
"We think he might be hiding in the water," the soldier continued, not removing his eyes from her. "No," she said to herself. She heard the word in her head, but then she realized that her mouth was open, like an idiot's. Had she said something, whispered it? She could not be sure. "What did you say?" "I said nothing." The tip of the gun was still steady at her throat, but suddenly it was removed, the officer tipping his head toward the lowland, stepping away. "He's there," he told the others.
Lahiri says the character of Gauri was key to her exploration of how these events haunt and shape her characters for the rest of their lives.
I wanted to understand what it might have been like to witness something like that and what the consequences would be of witnessing something like that. I mean, she's a 23-year-old woman. She's in love with her revolutionary husband. She watches him shot in cold blood. She discovers after the fact that she's carrying his child. How does one move on from that?
Much of the book takes place in the aftermath of that night. Gauri joins Subhash in the U.S., where he has been studying at an American university. They live in Rhode Island, where Lahiri grew up. But Lahiri says their sense of isolation in a new country is intensified by the awareness of the tumult they left behind.
The real issue that interested me more in this book was what is it like to have experienced life in a city where, a situation, a political uprising, whatever you want to call it, attempted revolution, really is what it was, has taken over the city, has altered life fundamentally, has created a dangerous, difficult, violent environment. Has affected day-to-day life on practically every level. To be living with this day after day and then suddenly to be in a part of the world where it might as well not exist because it's not on the radar. of anybody you're around, you know, and just simply the silence. You know, I imagine for the characters, I imagine for Gori, it was both a relief and deeply unsettling.
Lahiri says it is when she asks herself questions like that, questions she cannot answer, that she finds her stories.
So much of my writing derives from these questions that I ask, you know, things that are utterly beyond my personal set of experiences. And it's my attempt to try to understand, you know, to sort of break out of my own consciousness, you know, the limitations of my own life.
Lahiri says that in this book, she feels she has stretched the canvas of her writing. Much of her previous fiction has focused on the generational tension between immigrant parents and their children who have been raised in a different country. She has touched on history and politics in the past, but in this book, she says, they are an integral part of the story.
At heart, it remains a family story, and that's how it was conceived. But I did want to acknowledge, address, understand the historical and political context. And so for me, that was a new step to take.
Writing a book, says Lahiri, is a mysterious process. She never really expects to be happy when she's finished, but she does hope for a sense of satisfaction. With this book, she has added some new ingredients, and in the end, she is satisfied that she put everything in the story that needed to be there. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Greene.